Hosea 6. And we talked, the other night we recited 2 Corinthians 7:14, and it's a well-known verse where God says to Solomon, remember the occasion is that the temple was being dedicated, and Solomon had prayed, for the nation of Israel, and God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sins. And while he was talking about the Jews, in fact, he said, if they'll pray toward this place, in this place or toward this place, I will hear their prayer. But when he talks about his people, his attitude toward us is not different. In fact, as we look at the Old Testament, we understand that it is the historical account of Israel and their relationship, their walk with God, and their backsliding from God. And so how is that different than it is for us, especially when in the New Testament it explained to us that there is neither Jew nor Greek? It's explained to us that we as believers have been grafted into the family, the Jewish family of faith. And so those who believed from the beginning to those who believe now, the standard of God is the same. And he hasn't changed his principles. So if we've put our faith in Christ and we're in that family, we're in that group, then not everything that's written about Israel will apply to us, certainly. Some of it is about their nation, about their land. But when it comes to their relationship with God, those things we can look at and apply in our lives. In Hosea chapter 6, he says, come, let us return to the Lord. Now, as I think about our church, those who are at home and those who are here, this is not a physical returning to God. This is a spiritual returning to God. This is a heart returning to God, a mind returning to God, our spirits returning to God. And so the question we ask, obviously here, as we're looking into the judgment of God, we talked about Habakkuk this morning as they were facing the exile from their land and the judgment of God. But as we look at our lives, the only one who can answer your condition, your relationship with God, is you. I don't know how close you are to God. I don't know if you've backslidden from God. I don't know if there was a time in your life where you were in a better relationship and better communication and better fellowship with God than you are today. Now, I would hope that's not the case, but I know. The tragedies of life, the troubles of life, sometimes callous our hearts and blunt our spirits and wear us down so that we're physically, mentally, and spiritually not where we should be. So I say tonight, as Hosea said there, come, let us return unto the Lord. Let us return. It's a call. Come. Let us go. So what's Hosea saying? He didn't say, you go. He said, let us go. So just like Habakkuk this morning that said, I will stand, I will set, I will see. Same tonight as Hosea says, let us, all of us, let's return together. Let's go back to God. You know, one of the things that's so important to me is that we look at Capitol Heights, especially on, a year into this pandemic, and really look at what we think Capitol Heights Baptist Church should be. What should we be? What is not here that should be here? Or what is here that shouldn't be here? And let's examine those things and let's advance this ministry to where it should be, to make a difference, to make an impact, for souls to be saved and lives to be changed. Because if that's not happening, we're spinning our wheels. That's what it's about. So let us return. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Let it begin with me. Let us return. He talks about what God has done. God has torn. God has smitten. But he also says he will heal. He will bind us up. So that wound that is open will be brought back together. Guys, we don't have to be brokenhearted the rest of our lives. God can heal us. We don't have to be sour the rest of our lives. God can heal us. We don't have to be bitter. Everything in our lives doesn't have to have a cloud or a shadow. We can walk in the light of God and the hope of God and have our faith restored. Yes, there's been loss, but that doesn't have to cloud our happiness. It doesn't have to soften our joy. We can still have joy and happiness and healing and still be whole. And I know in the midst of our pain, it's hard to see that. But look at what Hosea said. He will heal. Healing is a process. Forgiveness is a process. And it takes time. And by the way, it'll take a different time for each of us, according to our walk with God, according to what He has for our lives. So I don't judge you and you don't judge me on how long it takes us to heal, right? If I cut my hand and it sliced open and I bind it up, like he said, I bind it up, pull the meat back together, and maybe get it stitched up, it's all better now, right? It's not. There's a process. And I've got to attend to that and I've got to take care of that. So just like in our hearts, if we try to ignore it like it's not there. One of those things that we talk about a lot is PTSD, post-traumatic stress. And one of the biggest problems with that is when people wouldn't talk about it. And they buried that, whether it's military or other trauma in our lives, maybe even domestic trouble. And when we don't deal with that, we just push it back. It doesn't get better. And one day it catches up. And so we've got to tend to that wound. We've got to treat that wound. We've got to do what's necessary to make it better, to get it healed again. And it says God will heal. Look, we've had trouble. We've had pain as an individual, as a people, as a nation. We've had trouble. God will heal. Let us return. Let's not turn our back on him. Let us follow after him. Verse 2, after 2 days, he'll revive us. After 2 days, it's going to take some time. In 2 days, I'm not saying Wednesday it'll all be better. But it's a season. So after a period of time, he'll bring us back together. Here, as he talks to the nation, God will bring us back together. And then look at what he says on that third day will happen. On the third day, he will raise us up. Now, what is that a reference to? Of course, it's a reference to the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because our hope is in Christ. Our hope is not in our pride, like we looked at this morning. Our hope is not in our skills, like we looked at this morning, Habakkuk. Our hope is in Christ. And so when we put our hope in him, we follow after him, we return to him from whatever it is that we've gotten caught up in, we go back to God and say, I want to serve you, I want to follow you, I want to submit to you, he will heal. He will bind us up, he'll bring us back together. And on the third day, he'll raise us. On the second, after the second day, he'll revive us. Verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. You see, when we got saved, it may not have changed our lives dramatically. It changed our future. It changed our eternity. But some people get saved and they don't ever go follow after God. They don't serve God. Some people get saved and they serve for a little while and then something happens and they drop out. And they backslide and they fall away. But here with God, he says, and then we'll see. Then we'll know if we're going to follow on to know him. Is it going to be real? Is it going to be genuine? Is it going to stick? How many of us are interested in knowing God? How many of us are interested in following on to know his purpose in our lives, his will? God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me now? What changes do I need to make? What changes do you want to make in my life? Then shall we know if we shall follow on to know the Lord. Our forgiveness and repentance, that's just the beginning. But will we follow through? Will we follow on? Look at what it says. His going forth is prepared as the morning. The judgments, the grace of God, the goodness of God. His going forth is preordained. His going forth is prepared. is going forth, is prepared as the morning. When we're talking about Old Testament, the coming of Christ, we've talked about the resurrection of Christ, his going forth, the Messiah coming to us is prepared. You know it's sure? He said, hey guys, it's sure. In Habakkuk this morning, he said, though it tarry, wait for it. It shall come to pass. You see, they didn't know when Jesus would come. We talked about Joseph in Sunday school. When the message of God, the angel of the Lord, came to him and said, hey, you're in the middle of this. What God's going to do with the Savior, with the Christ, with the Messiah, you're going to marry his mama. And you're going to raise this boy up. And Joseph was not thinking spiritually, was he? He was thinking with a little self-protection, little defense, you know, self-defense. Well, I'm just going to divorce her and move on with my life. The angel of the Lord came along and said, no, this is a plan. You're in the middle of it. You've got to stick to this. His going forth was prepared as the morning. Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? It's going to. I don't care if there are clouds between. The morning's coming. The sunrise will be here. Daybreak will get here. His going forth is prepared as the morning. It's sure. It's certain. He shall come to us as the rain. Now, is it going to rain tomorrow? Doesn't say it is. Forecast doesn't say it will. But see, when it gets here, whether we're expecting it or not, what he's saying is, it's refreshing. Especially in an arid climate like they have. Boy, when it rains over there, they celebrate. They're so happy to get it because they run so close as far as what they need. A lot of times we're running deficit. Think about, you know, here, think about California. In times when we've had drought in this area. Well, when the rain comes, we celebrate, don't we? That's what he's saying. It should come as the rain. As the latter and the former rain to the earth, so it'll be time of celebration. It's not established. There's not a time schedule that we know about, but God will make it happen. His going forth is prepared as the morning. It's sure. No doubt about it. He goes on and we'll go down to verse 4. He says, Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, as the early dew goeth away. So as we think about the coming of Christ, then he comes back and he says, but think about what you're doing. Come, let us return to the Lord. Because even though he's brought judgment, he'll fix it. He says, guys, the problem is we don't stick to it. Then shall we see if we'll follow on, but will we stick to it? How many of you get charged up when you go to church and hear a good sermon? Right? And it's been a while. But you go to church and you hear a good sermon and boy, right in the middle of it, you think, I can make a difference. I can go do something. I can do great things for God. And how long do we stick to that? Do we carry it out? Do we think, oh, I need to call my cousin or I need to call my neighbor. I need to call so-and-so and talk to him about the Lord. Make it plain. We're all excited about it. The invitation, we're praying, Lord, I'm going to do that. And then the dew subsides. It's there, and then it's gone. Is that how our faith is? Is that how our enthusiasm is? Look at what he says. Your goodness is as the morning cloud. It's there, and then it's gone. When does it go away? When the heat comes up. When the temperature rises. And it just cooks it away. He talks about how I've hewed them by the prophet, slain them by the words of my mouth. Thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. So he talks about the things that have been said and taught to them. And he says, I've done everything I can to get the point across. How many of you have ever done that with your husband? Done everything you could to get your point across? All right. I don't want you guys to get in trouble, so I won't ask. All right. Or with your children, right? Done everything you can to get your point across. You repeated yourself and you said it in a certain tone in a certain way. And you said, I'm not going to raise my voice. And then eventually, there's only one way to do it, right? Raise your voice. And all of a sudden, their eyes get big. God says, I've done everything I can to get your attention. Verse 6. I desired mercy, not sacrifice. Knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God says, here's the problem. Y'all are doing what you want to do. Y'all are doing what you think is right. You're doing what you think I would have you to do. But what I want is mercy. What I want is for you to know me, God says. You see, before we do anything, especially ministry related, we need to talk to God about it. Before a sermon or a lesson is prepared, we need to talk to God about it. Make sure it's what He wants. Mercy, not, we think as long as we give our offering, we're okay. We think as long as we deny ourselves something, you know, then we're okay. He says, I want mercy, not sacrifice. Knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Chapter 7 and verse 1, if you will. God says, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. The thief come in, the troop of robbers spoileth without. When I would have healed, iniquity and wickedness was discovered. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has smitten, but he will bind up, and he has torn, but he will heal. And then God says, I will heal. And he looks at our lives and he says, but you're not ready yet. My mom cut her hand on a coffee cup one time and she went to the doctor. It was sliced open pretty well. Went to the doctor and they sewed it up. Then it got infected only to find out that something had been left in there. You see, when God comes to heal us, he's got to make sure there's nothing sinful left in there. He's got to make sure there's no wickedness still in there where we're holding back and saying, God, I surrender. I lay my life before y'all. I ask your forgiveness. I repent. I want to turn to you. I want to live for you. And he comes and he says, okay, there's something left in there. There's something that you haven't gotten rid of yet. There's something you're still holding on to. I'll heal you. I'll bind you up. I'll fix you. But you're holding on to some stuff that's going to be in the way. You see, it's not that God won't heal. It's that those things are going to keep us from healing. It's not that God won't make us better. It's that those things are going to keep us from getting better. And he says, I'm not going to go through the motions because you're anchored to that sin. You're anchored to that wickedness that you're not willing to let go of. Verse 2, they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. Look, it's not God's fault. Their own doings have beset them. It's the things that we do. It's the things that we hold dear that we need to release. It's the relationships that we have that are holding us back. It's the things that we entertain ourselves with that keep us from growing. God says, I will heal. He said, I was going to heal. But you got to let go of some things. You've got to change something. You've got to be ready to go forward. And then I will heal. Verse 14. Continuing, he says, they have not cried unto me with their heart. They howled upon their beds. They assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. He says, they're not ready to let go yet because things are still too good. Things are sufficient. Life is adequate. And so they haven't cried out. You know, and the way he phrases that, look at the way he says it. They haven't cried out what? Anybody got your Bible open? What's that? With their heart. Where do you cry out first? With your voice or with your heart? You see, our instinct ought to be God. When something's gone wrong, our instinct ought to be to turn to God. Our instinct ought to be to turn to those who have our spirit in mind. And our well-being, our spiritual well-being in mind. But when we go everywhere else, I think of King Asa in the Old Testament. And it says that he sought not the Lord, but he went to the doctor. To the physicians, it says. And he died with his ailment. And God says, I'll tell you, the reason he died, he didn't come to me. Our instinct ought to be prayer. Our instinct ought to be, Lord, what would you have me to do? Our instinct ought to say, Lord, show me. But he said, they're not. They're still partying. They're still living it up. They're still fornicating. They're still getting drunk. All these things. I mean, he said a lot in those few words there. They didn't cry out to me. What did they do? They buried their pain. They buried their need. They tried to disguise what was going on in their heart. And rather than call out to me, they filled their lives with parties and reveling and drunkenness, activities, when what they should have done was just turn to me. Hosea says, come, let us return. Let us return. Let's pray. God, it's my prayer that we'll each one look to you and that you will search us and try us and see if there be any wickedness in us. Because we want you to do your work in us. We're surrendered. We submit ourselves to you. We pray, God, that you will show us, is there something in the way? When you would heal, we don't want to stop that. When you would heal, we don't want to get in the way so that our own actions keep us from what's best. God, use us. Make a difference through us this week. That souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all ready for a business meeting?